Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. So today my guest is Sarah Oakley, and she is the founder of the Brave Bird Club, and she's on a mission to inspire everyday people just like you and me to find their bravery during the tougher times in their lives. She's designed some Brave Bird pants to be worn on those days when you just need to tap into your inner strength, step outside your comfort zone and find your brave. And yes, I do have several pairs of them, which I wear when needed on those days that I just need some inner confidence. And Sarah's leading a growing Brave Bird Club community while raising awareness for domestic abuse through social media. And she does regular press appearances, and she supports a women's domestic abuse charity in Bognor Regis called My Sister's House. So, wow. Hello, Sarah. So lovely to have you join us today.
Thank you. It's my absolute pleasure to be here.
And I think that all small business owners need to have some Brave Bird Club pants in their knicker drawer. And I see that you now do socks. Have you been branching out?
Yeah. The socks was a collaboration with a friend of mine who's got an amazing socks company, and we're like, right, let's make some socks together. So Brave and Badass Socks, we've had out the last month. It's been fun.
So firstly, can you share with us the inspiration behind the Brave Bird Club and how it came to be?
Yeah, I think I originally started mostly as a combat to loneliness, because I'd been through a difficult situation in my own life, and then we had COVID and everyone was locked in, and I just felt the need for community. And when I looked around, I was like, well, what would I have needed when I was at my loneliest time, and what is needed in the world? And I decided it was a club where we looked to inspire each other with bravery, positivity and authenticity.
And what made you sort of inspired you to create Brave Bird pants? What did you think? What earth was going through your head that moment that you thought, yes, we'll all wear some pants and everyone will know that we're wearing these pants for those challenging days? And how do they actually help individuals to tap into their inner strength?
Well, they originally came about because of my best friend. She was in an abusive relationship for 8 years. And literally, I met up with her once in these 8 years, and her life had been stolen away. And my usual sparky friend had lost just her spirit, and her posture that was always so upright was down. And it was just absolutely heartbreaking because, yeah, we weren't allowed to contact each other, and I knew who she was, and the person, spirit she was just taken away. So that was a really difficult time for us both. We sneak each other the odd message, but it always had to be done in private and with worry of consequences. So I was here in Mallorca one day, and about Mallorca now, and I got a ping on my phone, and I looked down and it was her, and it said to me, I need to leave him, but I don't know how. And I quickly text back, well, what would you say to your friend to do? And she said, to pull up my brave pants and to crack on with it. So that day I watched her turn her life around, literally leaving with a coat and a small bag and one of her children, because it wasn't safe enough to take the other at the time. And seeing that bravery, just I thought I was so, you know, impressed and just so proud of her, and I just had to make the pants.
That's just such a heartwarming story.
Yeah, thank you. And now the pants are there for those moments of bravery, those times when you need them. We all have times in our life where we need to be brave, and my intention is to have something that you can draw on in those times.
And it's funny that I love it that you've called them the Brave Bird pants, because I know when I had a dark moment, when something went wrong on my Pocket PA journey, when we were at the very beginning, the inception, and we were supposed to have the first version of Pocket PA, the platform, delivered to us. And I'd been trusting this guy all along, and he had been telling me it was about to come out and it was all on its way, and he was going to do this big ta-da moment. And naively, I hadn't seen any sort of prototypes, and we'd booked a place at the NEC in Birmingham to go to do our big launch, and I was investing everything into this, and I'd paid a huge amount of money what I thought was being built, and 2 weeks beforehand it wasn't delivered. There was nothing. He sort of almost did a runner, and there was nothing to show for all this money. I had this stand booked at the NEC Birmingham, and I just said to my daughter, oh my god, what are we going to do? This was supposed to be the launch party for Pocket PA, and I just went into a downward spiral for a short while. And then I woke up one morning and I said, right, we're going to put on our big girl pants. And that was all I could say. They were our big girl pants. And I said, we're going to put on our big girl pants, and we are going to go, and we're going to put our t-shirts, our hats, and our big girl pants, and we're going to go out there. And she just knew exactly what I meant when we talked about putting our big girl pants on. But I just so much prefer your Brave Bird pants. It just sounds so much better. And it does feel like it's something that we as women do. You know, you wouldn't think of asking the men to put their big men pants on, because it wouldn't have that same ring to it. Certainly a women thing, isn't it? We talk about big girl pants, but I prefer now the Brave Bird club pants. So, yeah, do you feel it's definitely a female thing?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I just wanted to support women. It just felt right to me. I think we connect beautifully. We support each other. And it just felt right to me to have this community for women. Also, I think within women, we understand that there are lots of different forms of bravery. So for one person, bravery could be doing something very public and something very magnificent, perhaps climbing a mountain or a sporting achievement, you know, where the world looks on in magnificence and cheers. And that is definitely brave. However, there's also another type of bravery, which is when your life is really challenging, and bravery is getting yourself out of bed. It's brushing your teeth, even though your hand shakes, and it's taking that first step out the door because life has been so cruel. That is brave for you to do. So that I wanted to express as well. And I feel like bravery can be coined by us really beautifully. It's traditionally had maybe a little bit of a macho tone to it, and that is a form of bravery. Superheroes are incredible. However, I'm talking about that heart-led, you know, emotional, vulnerable courage, which I think as women is one of our superpowers.
And I think it's an invisible bravery sometimes that you don't actually get any recognition for. And I think when you do look at the domestic abuse numbers, I mean, there is a huge slant, obviously, towards women being the victims. And I think that all feeds into this patriarchal, misogynistic world that unfortunately we do still live in lots of sectors. And so it wouldn't occur, you know, the bravery that we're talking about is a feminine led energy, I think, which is why I think this fits so beautifully.
I agree. Yeah, because it's just to mention that, because I think it's a really important point, that one in four women and one in seven men. So it's a societal problem. It's not just a women problem. It is a societal problem. Will undergo domestic abuse or violence. Sorry, will undergo abuse or violence, most commonly done by their intimate partner. I mean, during their life, that statistic is absolutely shocking considering what modern world we live in. And for sure, that's a time where bravery must be shown.
So just those figures alone, I mean, it's not exactly one double the numbers, but it's certainly, you know, one in four women, but one in seven men. So there definitely is a much higher prevalence in women. So yes, there is definitely that feminine energy that I think we need to tap into for bravery. And with the Brave Bird Club community that you've created, I mean, I'm always in awe of anyone that can create a community. They're a huge connector. They have amazing personable skills that I feel like I always look up to. But how does it support individuals in finding their bravery in tough times in that community?
Do you know, when I started this, I was like, the community's going to grow and I can just sort of sit in the background and showcase all of these amazing brave birds. But of course, communities don't work like that. Pretty quickly, I realised I have to lead this. I have to put myself out there. And that is my bravery journey in all of this. It's something that I don't necessarily find easy, or it's quite scary to put yourself up there. Like, hey, I'm running a brave community. And they're like, you must be brave. You know, I get the odd dig, go on, brave bird. Obviously, I'm not brave. Or disclaimer, I'm not brave all the time. I have struggles. We all do. However, the question, what was the question? How's the community showcase? Please repeat it.
Just tell us more. Yeah. Tell us more about the community and how it supports individuals on their finding their bravery during those tough times. What does the collective of the community do to draw out that bravery?
Well, the first thing I'll say is there are no gates in the community. That's one thing that's really important to me. Anyone can come in and can access and follow on the socials and find inspiration. And you will see that women across the globe are doing amazing things in these pants. So it could be something like, as I said, climbing mountains in them. It could be leaving a toxic relationship. It could be farting in a yoga class and still going back next week.
Oh, my days.
That's these lovely. Women are doing big, badass, brave things. And well, the thing is, it's like when you see someone do the thing, you suddenly realise you have it in you too. So the community is about hope. You can, maybe your life feels so difficult, you can't see a way out. And we all have seasons like that. However, if you can see what's possible the other side, that's just a beautiful thing. And it doesn't mean that you have to do that right now. It doesn't mean that you're lesser than for not doing that. But what it does mean is that you are worthy and it is possible. So that's what my intention is that people get and that the community really catch on to. And yeah, I get DMs of, I put on your brave pants today to do this. I did that. And they're just the most warming thing. It's why I do what I do.
And I love seeing on your socials people that do wear them and they showcase them. And they are way braver than me, because when I put mine on the other day to wave my daughter goodbye, I wasn't feeling brave. And I thought, oh, my goodness, the last thing I would do is be able to reveal me wearing my pants right now. And yet I follow an amazing lady called Bryony Gordon. And I don't know if you know her. She did the London Marathon in her underwear, and she's a plus size lady and super proud and is showcasing that bravery every single day. And I saw her out running, looking so hot and sweaty yesterday in the heat. And she was talking on her socials as she was running. And she was just saying, I know from one anxious and anxiety laden, depressed person speaking to others that might be watching this, exercise is such a tonic. But for those of you that are still in bed that haven't been able to get up today, and, you know, that's totally fine. She said, I'm running for you today. And this run is for you. And when you feel like doing it, you'll be out there doing it as well. And I think it's that connection that people, you know, are those leaders in these areas that are able to not be perfect all the time, because we can't be. We're all flawed. And progress over perfection is so important, because, you know, perfection is so overrated. But it's about having that community where you see inspiration from different peoples. It doesn't have to just come from the leader, because again, like you said, you can't be brave all the time. You're just human. But having that community of people that you can tap into and lean on, and not having to be brave every single day, but just growing a little bit at a time. So I think that's such an important role of a community, and finding like-minded people, because let's face it, social media can be suffocating and stifling with these perfection show reels of people living these freedom lifestyles and everything being amazing. And it's not real life. And I try to, you know, ground my kids, which thankfully they are, and they know that that's just a show reel. But what role does social media play in raising awareness for domestic abuse, and how have you been able to utilize that to support your cause?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. I mean, first of all, I'm not an expert in domestic abuse. I just have my experience with my best friend. So that's what I share. And I guess that's what gives me authority to speak on it, because I've seen it. It's a tricky one because it's very exposing. I have to protect people involved, you know, and often I have people who want to come and share their stories. However, you have to have in your head, are you ready for that exposure? But I think social media is a wonderful place now, and you really can find people who've come through the other side and, yeah, see that that's possible. But it's also, you know, with domestic abuse, it's not people think if you leave, then it's over. It's not. You're still in it. There are a lot of women choosing to be in that because it is the safer place they feel for them to be right now. And that has to be respected as well. I guess I just talk about it when I can and when it feels appropriate. And yeah, spread awareness that way.
And I guess if they're staying in that relationship, it must feel in some way, as bizarrely as it might seem to the outsider, it must feel perhaps somehow safer than if they stepped out into the unknown, where they couldn't quantify what the risks might be and the threats that might sort of follow them once they've perhaps left their abuser. So whilst it might be a terribly toxic place for them to be staying in it, the actual fear of the unknown, that it could be so much worse out the other side, is actually what's keeping them in it, because at least they know what to expect and they feel at some level they can endure it, I guess. I can only imagine, having never been in that situation, from any sort of physical domestic abuse myself, that could be. I certainly don't speak from any standpoint of knowing. But there's also a dark side, isn't there, of socials and social media. And have you come across any sort of negative feedback? And if so, how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I have. So I, with the pants, one thing that immediately stands out, well, there are two things that I've had. Firstly, the pants go from a size range they go from a size range small to XL. So I have small, medium, large, and extra large. And I've had quite a few messages with the tone, larger women are brave too, you know, but worse. And I was exhibiting, and the day I arrived, I had someone come up to me and sort of finger through the underwear and then sort of discard a bit and be like, you should make bigger sizes. And that's tough, because I will always be compassionate and I will always listen, and I understand that we all have different points of views, but I have to make decisions based on my family and my business, and it doesn't, you know, it's quite hard that people won't hear my voice and why I have chosen to do that and why I've needed to do that, and just have their voice of why that is wrong. You know, that's the internet for you. But I think people who know me, I have friends of all size ranges. I won't ever judge anyone on their size. I don't think anyone's better than each other. I support everyone and, you know, love your body, whatever. I'm totally in support of that. However, that's one that I've had quite a lot. I've also had you said that you stand for women. Yes, I stand for women. I've had that questioned in terms of, like, we're growing as a society and recognizing not everyone identifies as a woman. But that's kind of been like, I am being exclusive by using that. However, again, I think the role of a woman and female is sacred, and I'm supporting that. I'm not excluding anyone. I'm just supporting what I believe to be true and what I believe I can offer. So again, I will always listen with compassion, but I will ultimately make the choice that is right to my heart and to my business. So those are two things.
And that makes total sense. And I think what people might be missing the point of is, you know, I'm exactly the same with Pocket PA. I want it to be an inclusive and a diverse environment. And I totally recognize people that it's niched into to very specifically help that would work better. But just because we are focusing on one element and one aspect of our business, it doesn't mean that we don't support or recognize that there are people outside of our immediate sort of focus. And it is often a commercial decision that we're having to restrict things or make commercial decisions about the audience that we serve at this point. And there are, you know, probably 20, 30 different features that I could put into Pocket PA that would help a few people on the perimeter or quite a lot of people on the perimeter. But I have to handle and start with what I can cope with and what I can deliver reliably. And it must be the same for you. You know, you have from small to medium, large, XL. That sounds like a perfectly normal place to start from in your range. And as you start to grow, you will be able to then cater for the extra smalls and the XXLs and those people as you expand and grow in your confidence and ability and commercial business operation. And it's the same with myself. People come to me sometimes and say, oh, you don't reconcile with bank statements at this point. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I had to make decisions about what I was going to include in the first, you know, phase of my business. And I decided that these core features were necessary to support the majority. But it doesn't mean that I don't recognize that some people would find that really useful. But financially, I can't afford to do everything all at once. And I have to just be mindful because I still want to be here in 12 months, 18 months time to be able to support people. So it's a commercial decision quite often, not because you're trying to exclude or become elitist for, you know, a small group of society in your size range. And so, yeah, that's interesting. Thank you for sharing
that. Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, because it was nice for me to hear that, because you can't please all the people all the time. And if you're,
as soon as you start to try doing that, you're diluting your message, I think. Yeah. And you're trying to serve everybody and pleasing no one. And you have to stay true to where you start. And then as things grow and become more successful, you can bring more things in on the edge of your sort of comfort zone. At the moment, you go to the periphery of your comfort zone and you start to bring more things in, and your comfort zone widens, I think, as you're able to grow.
Yeah, it's just, and it's interesting. It's that black and white thing about society at the moment. It's a sort of a larger discussion of people want to sit in the camp of you're right or you're wrong, but there has to be a bit of wavering. I'm not a bad person for not doing that, and you're not a bad person for questioning me. So let's just sit in the compassion for each other and see what we can do. But yeah, I'll see how it goes. There might be some occasion where I won't act in such a way that I'm proud of in the future, but you know, so far I've been like, okay, I'll listen, but I'm going to go with my gut on this, which is what you've done too. So high five to your sister and onward and upwards.
Yeah. So moving on to that, how does your work with My Sister's House contribute to your mission of raising awareness for domestic abuse? Are there any specific initiatives or projects that you're involved in there?
So we fundraise every pair of pants that's bought from the website. £1 goes directly to them. And when I sell them in person, 100% of the profits of what I made goes to them to support their work. So I knew, because of the reason they came about, that that's something I wanted to do. And they are the most beautiful charity. They're 18 people, all apart from one, work on the front line with women. They've got different groups. So like I said, there are groups where people, women can come and get the space. It's not all the, and sit there till they're ready to leave or not ready to leave, to just know that they've got their support. They've got art groups. They've got pottery groups. They've also, if people want to take further action, they've got financial advice, which is crucial because so many women have nothing, are leaving with nothing, you know. So they have that, they have counselling, and they're just a really magical centre. I'm just thrilled to, yeah, and I pop down there when I can. No, go into the groups and go and say hi to the staff and everything. They all wear the pants. They're gorgeous, amazing women. And the majority of them have, well, all of them have come there because they've experienced it themselves. And that's why they were there.
That's so nice. And can you share any success stories or moments when you've witnessed someone actually finding their bravery through the Brave Bird Club? Obviously not names or anything to reveal anyone's sort of, you know, private stuff. But what could you sort of recollect or share with us any stories where you've seen somebody really blossom?
Yeah, I have. I mean, they're emotional, you know, the stories that come out. I won't say names because I always like to have permission before I share them directly, but there's one lady who's been through numerous operations for cancer, who is now sharing her story and revealing the scars and finding power within that. And she's incredible. There's another woman who took a picture of her and her son. She must be in her 50s now, and she now works at a local group helping other women with domestic abuse. And she literally stood in her wellies with her pants on, with her arm around her son, saying what an amazing support he'd be. That was a special moment for me, because not only was she doing that, he was stood there supporting her. Oh, that was so beautiful. What else? I've got, there are just the little things as well. Like, they're not little, it all adds up.
But they're not little, are they?
They're not. Yeah, like a vet who contacted me and said she put them on to operate on her own dog, you know, and that's, I just love it that in the morning she opened her drawer, she was like, today, these are for me. She put them on and then do what you have to do.
And that was for me when I saw my daughter off on her world trip last week, when we were at the airport, and I knew that day was going to be difficult for me. And I got up in the morning and I thought, I'm going to put my brave bird pants on, even though I wasn't brave when we got there and I did cry. But I knew the intention was there to be a bit braver than I might have been otherwise. And so I was subconsciously sort of steeling myself and thinking, it's going to be hard saying goodbye. She's going across the other side of the world and she's my baby, even though she's in her 20s. And so, yeah, I put them on that day. And it's just that inner, I can't even explain it. It's just that inner note to self, I suppose. And I have them in there for special moments, and I choose which days I wear them. So
good. And just hearing what you said then was very interesting. You're like, well, I might not get your words exactly correct, but you said something like, I wasn't that brave because I cried. Now, this is something I think is really important to talk about, that when you're being brave, you often look a mess. You're often overly emotional. You're not picture perfect, put it that way. However, that doesn't mean that you're not brave. I mean, I've had to learn this journey myself. I was brought up to be fiercely independent. And when I became a carer to my husband, aged 30, when he got chronic ME and CFS, I spent the first couple of years strapping up and just being like, to be brave, I have to walk around and look like I've got this all together, look like my family are fine. Yeah, he's ill, but I can cope with this. I've done psychological training, so my psychology is good. You can deal with this, Sarah. And it took, I can remember the day when it broke away, is the day when I went on a walk with one of the school nuns. And she just made me feel so comfortable. I said things to her on that walk that I never said to anyone. And we got back to my doorstep and she said to me, Sarah, are you lonely? I said, yes, I am. Really, really lonely. And independent Sarah had to get vulnerable. And from that conversation, funnily enough, there was no shame. It only felt comfortable to just release all this armor that I've been carrying that just wasn't serving me. And from then, it's when I asked for help. Asking for help is one of the bravest things you could do. I asked for help. You know, I put my reality at the forefront of all the decisions I was making. I had a business I had to sell at the time. I stood into who I was and who I wanted to become. And only was I able to do that by having that teary, vulnerable moment where I allowed myself to be seen.
And I think vulnerability is one of those things that we sort of think we need to paper over it and suck it all up and, you know, go past it. Because when you become a small business owner and you start, that's one of the bravest things that you can do. You are saying to the universe, I believe in myself. And you might not believe in yourself every single minute. And that's the bravery that you need as a small business owner to step into that space. Because let's face it, the majority of people take paid employment because it's not, because being self-employed isn't the right step for you, because they either don't have the braveness that's needed to be able to trust themselves and believe in themselves to try it. And even if it doesn't work out, look how brave you were to get started. And that courage that people take when they say, you know, when they hand their notice in and they step into that space of being self-employed, into the unknown, into knowing that they have to be totally self-sufficient and rely on themselves and draw on strengths and qualities that they might not even have known that they've got. That braveness is absolutely immense. And that's why I love being part of the journey of anyone that is part of the Pocket PA family that decides to trust my platform to help them run their business, because I know what a big deal it is to run your own business. And the fact that they trust us with that makes my heart sing to be part of that journey. Because I see them, I recognize their braveness. You know, I had a daughter at 19 that wanted to get into that space and she didn't know how, but she had the courage. And all I wanted to do was to make sure that she succeeded, because I wanted to honor and salute that braveness. And for all of those people that do things, whether it's a small business, getting out of a bad relationship, leaving a partner that isn't treating you in the right way, you know, stepping up into an area that isn't your comfort zone, you know, that braveness is to be commended and acknowledged in whatever way we're able to do that, I think.
And celebrated.
Yes, absolutely. Because we don't celebrate nearly enough. We're always busy focusing on the downside and that sort of thing. So what advice would you give, Sarah, to someone who's going through a tough time and perhaps struggling to find their inner strength and bravery? What words of wisdom would you share?
Sure. Well, I'll give two things today. First thing I would say is look who you're surrounding yourself with. As I said before, now might not be the right time for you to act. However, if you're surrounding yourself with people who enrich and uplift you, in time, you will see what's possible, and that will be your support. So find people who, yeah, see your dream, see your spirit, know who you are, and know whether to you need a hug or a gentle push. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I'd say the quote which I use a lot, which is, scared is what you're feeling, brave is what you're doing. So there's no way that you can bypass the fear on this. You can't get to the other side without those wobbles, without that flushed face, without that heart pounding, whatever it is. That is part of the process. So scared is what you're feeling, brave is what you're doing. And if you have that mentality, you can definitely step forward.
I love that. I love that. And courage is so intertwined with bravery, isn't it? You know, that they're in the alphabet B and C next to each other. Bravery and courage, it's like they're a match made in heaven. So that's good. And looking ahead, what are your future goals and aspirations for the Brave Bird Club? Where are you going? Are there any upcoming projects or initiatives that you're feeling really excited about that you could share with us?
Well, I love people. Just love connecting with people. So if anyone's listening to this and wants to connect with me, just come say hi. I'd love to hear from you. So my intention is to grow that through events. So I'm in discussions with a couple of different people at the moment. And yeah, watch this space. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing all of that with me today and anyone that's listening, which I know they will have found this really uplifting. And if our listeners would like to find out more about you and also get themselves a pair of these transformational Brave Bird pants, and where's the best place that they can find you and connect?
Yeah, so firstly, I say come say hi on our socials, which is at Brave Bird Club. And I run those socials. So if you pop into the DMs, you'll find me there. And to pick up a pair of pants, visit www.bravebird.club. And if you go through the checkout, oh, sorry, there's a door slamming downstairs. Keep it professional, Sarah. So if you go on that website and then you type in Brave as a discount code, that will get you 10% off as well.
Oh, that's so good.
And I would love you. But whether people metaphorically or physically get a pair, you know, I just hope that from this conversation, there's something in your life that you feel to encourage and brave to do as a result.
Thank you. That's so good to share. So I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you again so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead, full of braveness and courage and lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress. And until next time, let's catch up again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment. and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.